Friends, and welcome to another exciting look back to yesterday as we gather around the old party radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I'm happy you're joining me once again. I don't have a lot of time today, so let's get right to it. I'm going to start off with an episode of Our Miss Brooks, a great comedy series which ran from July 19, 1948 until July 7, 1957, all on CBS. This series starred Eve Arden as Connie Brooks and Jeff Chandler as Philip Boynton, the quote, bashful biology teacher and chief object in Miss Brooks' affection. Today's episode was first heard at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, October 18, 1953, as titled Mr. Boynton's Barbecue. Enjoy.
Bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks transcribed. But first, you get through the more comfortable time. There's but one exception. Brooks is on the friendliest of terms with her fellow English teachers at Madison High School. The lone exception being Miss Daisy Enright.
You might call Miss Enright and me friendly enemies. That is, we're enemies because we're both friendly with Mr. Boynton. But since I was stuck at home with a cold most of last week, Miss Enright was able to outfriend me with him by dating him every night. So there we were, me in with a steaming inhalator and her out steaming Mr. Boynton. Well, after a restless night, I got up at 6:30 Friday morning, roused my landlady, and a few minutes later, we were in the breakfast room.
What an unearthly hour to be getting up. How do you feel, Connie?
Unearthly, Mrs. Davis. I took a look at myself in the mirror, and I think my face broke.
My goodness, that's 7 years bad luck.
Let's put them on my bill. I have a charge account in the bad luck union. What are we having for breakfast?
I'm afraid it'll be rather stinky, dear. You know that Rhode Island hen I'm keeping in the backyard? The one that the butcher told me would lay an egg for us every morning?
Yes.
The poor little thing didn't feel up to it this morning.
Well, don't look at me. I don't feel up to it either. I'll just have some coffee.
You're out of coffee, dear. I made tea.
I'll take tea, then.
I drank it. Here's a glass of milk. It's nice and cold, isn't it?
The toast is.
So's the milk. I think it's a good idea to have cold drinks during this unseasonable hot spell we're having. The weather's really been balmy.
Aren't we all? Mr. Boynton remarked that it seemed like summer when he called me late last night. He promised to call me early in the evening, but he was unable to get home until after midnight.
What kept him out so late?
A Rhode Island hen named Miss Enright. She happened to drop by in her car. Then she happened to take Mr. Boynton for a drive. Then she happened to run out of gas.
Where?
In the hills, Natch. Mr. Boynton told me all about it. Had to walk 3 miles to a service station and 3 miles back with a can of gas.
A 6 mile hike. Imagine. Then what happened, Connie?
Nothing. Miss Enright was so cooped out from that long walk, she just drove him home.
Miss Enright hiked to the gas station.
Yes, he said he felt it his duty as a man to stick with the car and see that nobody stole it.
Well, how do you like that? Mr. Boynton isn't the most romantic chap in the world, is he?
No, but he ranks right behind Barry Fitzgerald. He did make had a date with me for tonight, though. He's going to take me out.
Out where, Connell?
Out to his backyard. The weather's been so mild, he suggested that we have a barbecue out there, Mrs. Davis. The thing he dipped into his tool kit yesterday and built a barbecue pit out of an old bathtub.
My, he is handy, isn't he?
With tools, yes, but give him a woman and he's all thumbs. Good morning, Harriet.
Oh, hi, Miss Brooks. Welcome back to school.
Thanks.
Oh, I was awfully sorry to hear about your cold. There are an awful lot of germs going around, aren't there?
Yes, but let's leave Miss Enright out of this. I got to report to your father, Harriet. Routine check-in, you know. Mr. Conklin's in his office, I suppose.
Well, he is, but I'd better warn you, Miss Brooks. Daddy's in a very nasty mood this morning. It's Codfish Balls Day.
Codfish Balls Day? Is that a legal holiday?
I guess you don't understand. You see, every Friday, Mother makes codfish balls for dinner. And Daddy hates them so much, it just ruins his whole day thinking about them. Lately, he's hit upon a cunning scheme to palm them off on guests.
On guests? That I don't understand either.
Well, last Friday, Daddy invited Miss Enright over for dinner. And this morning, he offered her another invitation. But this time, she turned it down. You see, Mother just cooks enough for the family, Miss Brooks. So when Daddy gives his portion to the guests, there's nothing Mom can do about it. That'll give you an idea how chagrined he feels about codfish balls.
I imagine the codfish feel the same way about him. This is all very enlightening, Harriet, but I really must go in and report. See you later.
All right, Miss Brooks. Bye now.
Good morning, Mr. Conklin.
Well, 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 if it isn't my favorite t-shirt. Bless you, Miss Brooks. Bless you.
Huh?
How it warms the cockles of my heart to see you again. Your nasty cold kept you away from me for several days, you naughty girl. Well, you simply must make up for it by letting me see more of you, mustn't you?
Forgive me, sir, but I don't understand.
My dear, I want you to come over to my house tonight for dinner.
Now, I do. I mean, I'm sorry, sir, but I have a date with Mr. Boynton.
With Boynton, you say? Well, bring him along. The more the merrier. Gad, what a ball you'll have.
You'll have the ball, Mr. Conklin. Mr. Boynton and I have already made plans for a little barbecue in his backyard.
A barbecue? Oh, a barbecue, eh? No doubt you'll be feasting on my favorite, barbecued ribs.
Yes, we'll have ribs, I suppose.
With the hot sauce?
With hot sauce.
I have an idea. Since you can't come to my house, suppose I join you in Boynton, and we'll have a million laughs.
Sorry, there'll be just enough food for two.
Well, I'd better get busy. If I make this a day of intensive work, perhaps I'll be able to get those things off my mind. That's the ticket. Work. You may go now, Miss Brooks.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, and a happy work day to you, sir.
And a happy back-to-school day to you.
And a happy codfish balls day to you. Good morning, Mr. Boynton.
Miss Brooks. Gosh, you're a sight for sore eyes.
I want to thank you for being so thoughtful when I had my cold, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, did you like the gift?
Very much. I still have some left.
Glad you liked it.
It's the nicest box of Kleenex I ever got.
Just a little remembrance, that's all. Say, you were locked in at home for quite a spell. Must feel good to get out, hmm?
Oh, yes, indeed. I can't begin to describe the eagerness with which I'm looking forward to this evening, Mr. Boynton. We ought to have loads of fun.
We?
We, yes. You and me, us.
Apparently there's been a misunderstanding. Tonight I have a date with Miss Enright.
I'll say there's been a misunderstanding. Mr. Boynton, when you called me last night, you distinctly said, and I quote, "We'll have a barbecue in my backyard tomorrow night."
Oh, I get it now. When I phoned you, Miss Brooks, if you recall, it was after midnight. So when I said tomorrow night, I didn't mean tonight. I meant tomorrow night, which is tomorrow.
From the motion picture, our Miss Brooks holds the bag again.
Gosh, I'm sorry if I've disappointed you.
Well, you have.
I wouldn't deliberately hurt your feelings for the world, you know that. But then I wouldn't want to hurt Miss Enright either. Wait a minute. I have a suggestion that might meet with your approval. Suppose I hold the barbecue tonight and have both of you over. You and Miss Enright.
Is that your best offer?
All I can do.
Then I accept. But will there be enough food?
Oh, don't worry about that. Miss Enright and I went to the movies last Wednesday, and it was grocery night. I want a whole box of stuff, big enough to feed a horse.
Well, that'll take care of Miss Enright, but what about us?
Now, just one brushing with Colgate Dental Cream removes up to 85% of decay.
So the barbecue was to be a triple-decker affair with Mr. Boynton, Miss Enright, and me in the middle. Well, since I've always been one to blush at playing the lettuce in an eternal triangle sandwich, I discreetly avoided contact with Miss Enright during our morning classes. At noon, I strolled into the school cafeteria, and upon making certain that her saddle was not hanging in the check room, I proceeded to my usual table, where Walter Denton greeted me with characteristic effusion.
The salutations of first flowers.
Your recent absence from these hallowed halls chased me to the quick, Miss Brooks. But now I rejoice to see you back in harness.
Thanks, Walter. Pull up a chair for me and I'll hitch old Dobbin to the shed.
Certainly. Yeah, how about this corner one?
Nicely concealed, isn't it? That's perfect, because if Miss Enright should come in, I'd like to avoid her.
Harry, you told me Mr. Boynton's going to have a barbecue in his backyard tonight, and Miss Enright's been invited.
So have I.
Well, you too?
It's co-educational.
Well, I hope you have a lot of fun. What are you going to barbecue?
Miss Enright, I hope.
You shouldn't say things like that, Miss Brooks. Well, in view of the fact that she's constantly praising your beauty, I really can't understand your aversion to Miss Enright. Why, only this morning she passed a very complimentary remark about your hair, I thought.
Miss Enright did? What did she say?
Well, she said that you have the loveliest blonde hair she's ever seen on a brunette. She claims that she's naturally blonde.
Let's drop Miss Enright, shall we? I think if we try real hard, we might come up with a more pleasant topic.
Hello there, Walter.
Oh, hi, Miss Enright.
The cafeteria is a bit crowded today. May I sit here with you and your mother?
Mother?
Miss Brooks. Oh, forgive my taking you for Walter's mother, darling. But you are looking younger every day.
Thanks, Grandma. Pull up a sturdy couch and sit down.
Oh, you're sweet. But this chair will do.
Excuse me a minute, ladies. I've got to go and get some pie. Hold my place. I'll be right back.
How nice to be alone with you, Miss Brooks. I do enjoy your company. As a matter of fact, Mr. Boynton told me that we'll all be together at the barbecue tonight, and I was delighted to learn that you're going to horn in on us.
My pleasure.
Now, don't you disappoint me, darling. If you fail to show up, I'll simply die.
That's okay. You'll still have 8 more lives to go.
I do adore your sense of humor, Miss Brooks. Perhaps it might interest you to know that I made a date with Mr. Boynton for this coming Sunday. It's my birthday.
Your birthday? If I knew it was coming, I'd have baked a bomb.
All right, now let's stop fencing and lay our cards on the table, shall we? As for me...
We were out of pie, so I got ice cream.
Don't interrupt, Walter. As for me, Miss Brooks, I have long cherished our friendship with the deepest possible degree of repugnance. I loathe you, darling, from the bottom of my heart.
From way back there? Miss Enright, I'm shocked. I think you ought to apologize for those terrible things you said to Miss Brooks. After all...
Excuse me, folks.
Oh, hello, Mr. Boynton.
Dear Mr. Boynton, do sit down.
There's a chair for you right over here, Mr. Boynton. Just walk around Miss Enright.
That's too long a trip. He might run out of gas again.
I'll just take your chair, Miss Brooks.
Mine?
I saw Mr. Conklin a minute ago, and he said he wants you to get right back to your classroom. If you missed a few days of school, you're behind in some reports which must be turned in before your afternoon classes, Miss Brooks.
Oh, great. Well, I'll catch up with you later, Mr. Boynton. So long, Walter.
Yeah, so long, Miss Brooks.
Goodbye, Connie.
Goodbye, Daisy.
Say, I like that, Miss Enright.
What, Mr. Boynton?
The way you and Miss Brooks address each other with such affection.
Affection?
It really gives me a warm feeling inside. Here you two are dating the same man tonight, and yet you're utterly free of petty jealousies. Well, I've known women in similar circumstances who do nothing but hurl catty remarks at each other. That's something I can't stand.
Really, Mr. Boynton?
Yes, indeed. But a wholesome, warm-hearted woman of goodwill, who at all times speaks endearingly of another woman, well, that's the woman for me.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. But you know how I feel about Miss Brooks. She's not only remarkably intelligent, but breathtakingly beautiful.
Huh?
I like you for saying that, Miss Enright.
Just a minute. Before Mr. Boynton came over here, you...
Finish your ice cream, Walter. Yes, Mr. Boynton, every time I see dear Miss Brooks, I just want to hug her like the doll she is.
Please, Miss Enright, not while I'm eating. So if you want to get anywhere with Mr. Boynton, you've just got to be a wholesome, warm-hearted woman of goodwill, Miss Brooks. Well, it's the old story. You can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar.
But I couldn't be so hypocritical as to coat Miss Enright with honeyed words, Walter.
Well, just feed her the honey when Mr. Boynton's around. The minute he's gone, you can slip her the vinegar again. I think you ought to give it a whirl at the barbecue, Miss Brooks. What have you got to lose?
Well, maybe it is worth a try. All right, Walter, I'll take along some Mother Phil's pills and hug her like a doll.
Thanks for the tip. Yeah, don't mention it. See you later, Miss Brooks.
Where are you heading, Walter?
Oh, down to the phone booth to call home, Mr. Boynton. My folks are going to visit relatives today, so I want to remind them to leave some money for me so I can have dinner at the drugstore. I guess I'll have to dine alone.
Alone? Under the drugstore? Nonsense. I have plenty of food, Walter. Would you like to join us at the barbecue?
Yes, I would, boy. I'll be there, Miss Boynton.
Good afternoon, Boynton. Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, what sheer delight it is to see you, Miss Conklin. If there's anything that brings boundless joy to these tired old eyes, it's the sight of our beloved principal, whose genial personality and outstanding leadership have won him the love and respect of
everyone. Oh, shut up!
Talk to the boy who may someday be your son-in-law.
Out of my sight, boob!
Bye, Mr. Boynton. Bye, Mr. Conklin. I'll be
your
sir. I know.
Mr. Boynton, my friend, I I understand you're going to have a barbecue tonight in your backyard. Suppose I join you there and we'll have a million laughs. Very much to invite you, Mr. Conklin, but, well, I have already invited Walter Denton, and obviously you don't get along well with him.
Mr. Boynton, shall I tell you a little secret about Walter?
What?
I love that boy. What time do we eat?
I think I'll get some more charcoal for the barbecue pit, Miss Brooks. Excuse me.
Surely.
That's strange. Every time I turn my back, I seem to hear a peculiar sound. Hard to describe. Maybe it's my imagination, but...
Oh, it must be. I didn't hear anything. I see you're making individual servings of hot sauce in separate pots, Miss Boynton.
Yes. Cute, aren't they? Oh, I wouldn't really call it hot sauce, though. Out of deference to the fair sex, I'm making it rather mild.
How very considerate.
Well, we men can take the real peppery stuff, Miss Brooks, but I wouldn't want to make it too hot for you.
You never have.
What's that, Miss Brooks?
Skip it. Lovely night, isn't it, Mr. Boynton? The firelight dancing in our eyes, shadows playing softly through the trees. The stars like platinum pendants hanging aloft. The full, lustrous moon.
Yes, indeed. This would be a great night for trapping gophers, Miss Brooks. They often come out of their burrows on nights like this, you know. Gophers are...
Whip out the traps. Here comes one now.
Hi there, Miss Enright.
Good evening, dear Mr. Boynton. And dear Miss Brooks, you look... simply gorgeous.
Oh, and you're ravishing. Your facial contours are magnificent. And your figure.
Excuse me, girls. I've got to keep an eye on
Well, go on, Miss Brooks. What are you going to say about my figure?
Just that if your girdle snaps, we won't have any room for the table.
Well, in that case, we could simply throw the grip. Oh, something wrong, Mr. Boynton?
It's nothing serious. I just nicked my hand slightly with a barbecue knife.
Oh, well, come along inside with me, Mr. Boynton. I'll bandage your little hand for you.
Oh, you're very kind.
Now, come along inside with me, Mr. Boynton. I'll bandage your hand for you.
What a place.
Good evening, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Walter.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
He's inside with Florence Nightingale. Why, Mr. Boynton's turned his back on me this evening. The sauce is cooking in individual pots, Walter, so I'm fixing this one up special for Miss Enright.
Yeah, but isn't that Tabasco sauce you're pouring in it?
Uh-huh. So far, I've poured in about a pinch more than half a pint.
Magazine, that stuff, she'll explode.
That's all right. I'll stick my fingers in my ears. When I serve her this little grenade, I've got a hunch she'll let me have Mr. Boynton to myself tonight. Look, maybe she won't suspect me if you serve it, Walter. Would you mind?
Mind? It'll be a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Miss Enright. I certainly appreciate it. Oh, hello, Walter.
Hi, Mr. Boynton. How are you, Miss Enright?
Oh, it couldn't be better. But since I had to bandage poor Mr. Boynton's hand, he'll be unable to serve. If one of you would be good enough to volunteer...
I have a recruit, Miss Enright. Walter Denton, Mess Sergeant First Class.
Oh, you're sweet, Walter. I myself would volunteer, of course, but it's such a dreadfully hot night.
You'll find it'll get hotter as it goes along.
I'll get things set up for you, Walter.
Yeah, thanks, Miss Brooks.
Greetings, one and all.
Hello,
Mr. Conklin.
Dear Mr. Boynton and Miss Enright.
Walter's here too, Mr. Conklin.
Yes. Good evening, sir.
Walter, my boy, my boy. Come close to me, son.
Huh?
when do we eat?
You can all sit down, Arthur. I'll go help Miss Brooks. Oh, how's it going, Miss Brooks?
Fine. These three plates contain spare ribs covered with Mr. Boynton's mild sauce. This lethal plate here contains spare ribs covered with the Tabasco rum and candle for Miss Enright.
May heaven have mercy on her soul. Now, I'll serve now while you put on the coffee, Miss Brooks. Excuse me.
Ah, here we are. Serve me that succulent dish, Denton.
Lady first, sir. Here's your plate, Miss Enright. No. Now, it's this one. Yeah. Oh, is it?
Well, it doesn't really matter, Walter.
Well, that's what you think. Here you are. Now, I'll just put my plate down here. Here's yours, Miss Franklin.
Bless you.
You'll be perching in a minute.
Yeah, and here's yours, Mr. Boynton.
No, give that to Miss Brooks. I'll wait till the coffee's ready. Well, I hope this sauce is hot. I love real hot sauce. Sorry, sir, but I made my mild sauce tonight.
Oh, well, smells delightful.
Oh, yes. Now to bite into this delectable morsel.
Enough water! Water on fire!
Franklin!
Turn the hose on me, you fool!
Oh, that's tough!
It's like eating hot coals!
That hot, sir. I'll try mine. What's yours for?
Oh, sure. Try yours, Miss Brooks.
Oh, sure.
All together now.
Water!
Water! Don't just sit there, boys, and pour that hot coffee down my throat to cool me off.
Oh, heavens, I'm burning up alive.
Miss Brooks, how can you sit there calmly eating that plate of spare ribs?
I'm lucky. I got the one with the Tabasco sauce.
Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment. What makes America... Now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, after sampling Mr. Boynton's barbecue sauce from a recipe entitled I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire, I Just Want to Give You a Little Heartburn, Mr. Conklin, Walter Denton, and Miss Enright fled the scene, leaving me alone with the bashful biologist.
I can't understand it. I have many recipes for hot sauce, Miss Brooks, but I just gave them one of my mild ones. Not too bad. I guess I spoiled the party for you.
Spoiled the party?
Certainly. Instead of being surrounded by your friends, particularly Miss Enright, now you'll have to spend the evening with just me.
Well, we all have to make sacrifices now and then. I forgive you, Mr. Boynton.
You do? You mean it, Miss Brooks? Gosh, I think I could kiss you for that.
I think you could, too. I'm ready when you are. I know I'll blush like the very Dickens, but, well, just one kiss. Here you are. Well, Mr. Boynton?
Water! Water!
It's a lucky thing I gave him one of my mild ones.
It's taken our Miss Brooks, who teaches English.
Well, what a great episode that was. I always enjoy listening to our Miss Brooks. I remember Lauren Phoebens, the former host of Old Part of the Radio, commenting that it was one of his favorite series. I have no doubt this is a favorite for many of you as well. Next, we're going to hear my all-time favorite old-time radio series, which is definitely one of the most iconic American radio series from the 20th century. I'm speaking of The Shadow, which ran from July 31st, 1930, until Boxing Day 1954. The series began on CBS, but the most famous years of the series, from 1937 until 1954, were all on Mutual. Today's episode dates to Sunday, July 17th, 1938, a time when the series was syndicated on Mutual. Orson Welles and Margot Stevenson star as Lamont and Margot Cranston in the episode Aboard the Steamship Amazon. Enjoy.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Shadow's latest adventure will be on the air in just a moment. Don't miss any of it because it's a thriller from the word go. And if you drive a car, don't miss this. It's the biggest news of the year for motorists. It's the inside story of the safest thing on wheels, the new Goodrich Safety Silvertown tire. This remarkable tire brings you something entirely new in tire safety, the Lifesaver Tread. Developed after 2 years of exhaustive research, after grueling tests of tread designs by the hundred, this amazing Lifesaver tread stops you quicker and safer on wet, slippery roads than you've ever stopped before. Its never-ending spiral bars, like a battery of windshield wipers, sweep water from under the tire, force it out through special deep drainage grooves, make a dry track for the rubber to grip. Thus, it protects you against skids in all directions, overcomes the hazard zone of motoring. Take my word for it, you'll never know what the word stop really means until you felt the grip of the Silvertown Lifesaver tread on a wet, treacherous road. And that's not all. Silvertowns are the only tires in the world that give you golden ply blowout protection. And think of it, you get both of these priceless safety features, skid protection and blowout protection, at no extra cost. Tomorrow isn't a bit too soon to start riding on Goodrich, spelled G-O-O-D-R-I-C-H. Goodrich, Safety Silvertown. The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, Aboard the Steamship Amazon.
Come on over, Randy.
Join the party.
Hey, children, what's the celebration for?
Jake's been lucky. She's in the money. She gets right on the ship's run for the day.
Yeah, come on and join us. Can't let Jane take all that cash she wanted to Rick O'Wallen when we dock tomorrow.
Well, don't mind me. I just supply the money. What'll it be, Randy?
Oh, nothing now, thanks. I'm looking for my stepmother. Anybody seen her?
Oh, sure. She's over there with Dr. DeVista.
Oh, yes.
See you later. Oh, say, we're going for a swim in the dress pool. Want to come along?
Not this afternoon, thanks.
Oh, I don't think you'll like us.
Hello, Mother. Afternoon, DeVista.
Oh, sit down, Randall.
Oh, thank you, Mother. Well, tomorrow we'll be in Rickaguana. From there on, it's going to be one great big party.
Lower your voice, my son.
Oh, no one can hear us in this corner. Time for the hush-hush is almost over.
Well, it will be short.
Well, I hope your little revolution is half as much fun as smuggling those munitions out of the United States has been.
It will be more exciting, I assure you.
When the revolution is successful, you will be a hero, Todd. My countrymen will never forget what you have done for us.
Well, just as long as it's fun, I don't mind putting up the money.
But you will make a fortune also. The people of my blood will show their gratitude in practical ways.
You know, the more I think of it, the funnier it gets. The luxurious steamer Amazon on a pleasure cruise. With enough ammunition and guns down in its hold to overthrow three governments.
Be careful, Tom.
Oh, don't worry. Nobody knows about those boxes marked electric refrigerators.
No one but us and Tang Sui.
Yes. Your Japanese valet is more practical than you thought. He is interested in the money he is going to make.
Sure. Well, Mother, tomorrow should be a great day for you.
Yes. To rule the land I was driven out of, an exile.
Yes, Clarice. The general has promised you great power.
Master.
What is it now, Tang Sui?
Message. Come to state room. I bring it.
A message.
It is a radiogram.
Well, let's have it, Tang Sui.
Here, Master.
Oh, that's all, Tang Sui. Oh, blazes have been cold.
Cold? Then it's from
headquarters, yes. From the general.
Oh, it may be important. We'd better decode it right away, my son.
Sure. No, not here, Tom.
Oh, hardly. I'm not a complete fool, Doctor. Anyway, there's code books in my cabin.
I'll meet you at dinner.
Your stepson. He thinks this is all allowed. He does not count it dangerous.
Randall, he is a fool.
But he will not be quite so gay if an accident happens. If he stood against the wall and shot.
That would be unfortunate, Dr. Vidicta.
Yes, for him. But if he were... you would come into all his money. Have you forgotten that?
No, my friend. I have not forgotten that.
Nice swim, Margot.
Fine, Margot.
Join me to walk on deck.
I'd love to.
I want to see young Todd doing his famous jackknife in the center town.
Yeah, I'll admire. Randy's a nice boy. Uh-huh. I've known him for years. A little too much money, but that's all.
And he travels around with a strange crew. His stepmother looks rather formidable.
Stop making deductions. You're on vacation.
Please, the devil. Hello, Todd.
Oh, hello.
Randy. What's the matter with him?
Well, he's very polite, wasn't he?
I never saw him act like that before. He was like a man in a day.
You look worried. You had bad news.
Bad news?
Yes, didn't you notice he had a radiogram in his hand, straight in his pocket. There's no coming.
Well, he certainly shot out of his stateroom in a hurry.
Yes, and he wasn't really going anyplace. He stopped and standing there by the rail.
All by himself. That isn't like Randy either.
Margo, perhaps he needs help. Why not talk to him?
He wouldn't talk in front of you, Lamar.
All right, you go alone. How's that?
And if he does need help?
Maybe we can supply it. You wait, though.
All right, I'll go over and talk to him. I say, isn't it, Randy?
Huh? Hello, Margo.
Randy, what's the matter with you?
Well, I'm in kind of a jam, Margo. Don't you worry.
What sort of a jam?
Well, it's the worst darn mess I...
Suppose you tell me the whole story.
I can't do that.
Of course you can.
No. I'm an awful coward, Margo.
Coward? Nonsense. What is there to be afraid of?
Oh, it's nothing.
Randy, I believe you are frightened. You're in danger.
Margot, what would you do if... No, I can't tell him.
Tell him what?
Oh, please, leave me alone, Margot.
Randy.
Stop pestering me, will you? I can't stand it.
Randy, come back here. Randy. Shadow.
Yes, Margot.
You heard everything?
Yes, I was here beside you. Randolph Todd must have some cause for his fear. I think I must talk to that young man. Talk to him soon. And the shadow.
Dr. Vigista, have you seen Randolph?
No, Maria.
I thought surely he'd be here dancing.
No, he did not even come to dinner. Tang Sui is looking for him.
Vigista, there is something wrong. Let's go to the boy's cabin. Come.
Here is Tang Sui now.
Tang Sui, my stepson.
My master has gone back to his stateroom.
Good.
He is worried. He walks up and down, up and down.
We must see about this. Please come, both of you.
That radiogram, Maria. Perhaps that is what upset him.
Here is the cabin, mister.
Open the door.
Well? Oh,
it is you. Yes, Tang. It is him.
Shut the door, Tang Sui.
Yes, please.
Well?
We thought you were coming to the dance.
No, I changed my mind.
Something better, Master, maybe.
No, I'm all right.
Randolph, stop handling that old dagger and look at me.
I'm interested in this knife.
It's an ancient... Indian knife, we know all that.
Randolph, we want to know why you are acting like this.
What did the general say in his radiogram?
The radiogram?
Yes. What was the name?
Oh, yes. Nothing important. Just good wishes.
Really? May I see the message?
No, I... tore it up and threw it overboard.
You destroyed it?
Yes, it wasn't important.
That message was from the general. We had a right to see it.
I'm sorry, I just didn't think.
Randolph.
What difference does it make? What are you all staring at me for?
Me think Master lie. Oh, to his right, Randolph. You're lying.
I said I threw the message overboard.
You're a poor liar, Randolph. Give me that paper.
I tell you, I...
Grab him.
Look out! Get him. Look out! He's grabbed the knife.
Must hold him, don't say.
Don't say hold him. Master, drop a knife.
Let me go. Twist his arm, Tansui.
I twist his... Stop! Drop a knife.
Stop!
Drop the knife, you fool. Tansui's jiu-jitsu will tear your arm off. Good. Go through his pocket, Jirika, and pick up the knife.
Hold him, Tansui.
No worry, Tansui, Hunter.
This won't catch anywhere.
Find the radio message, Doctor, and the code book.
Ah, here it is. In the book. Ah, and it decoded copy.
Read it.
Entire plan discovered by government. Blow up ammunition to prevent capture.
Master, lie.
Well, what if I did? Can't take that message seriously.
It is an order.
It's insane. Think of all the people on this boat. I won't do a thing like that. If you set off the ammunition, they'd all be killed.
What is that to us? Fool.
We follow the general. This isn't what I joined. This is mass murder. Innocent people. I didn't mind fighting in your penny ante war, but this...
You are a traitor to your people.
Your people, Secretary. Not mine. The passengers on this boat are my people. I won't let you slaughter them. I'll show up the whole scheme.
You dare?
Go watch me. Either you call the whole thing off, or I go to the captain.
No, master.
You can't hold me forever now.
Oh, you would betray. Rika Guana, this is the fate of traitors.
Mother, put down that knife.
The knife, it is for the traitors.
Ha! Maria! You threw the knife.
Second fall, Tansui.
Yes, so well. He's dead.
What? Maria, this is murder.
Do not be a fool, Davista. We had to silence him.
You cannot hide a murder.
It is not murder. The knife is Randolph. His grip alone is on the handle. I threw it by the blade. My poor, distracted stepson killed himself.
Suicide?
Mistress is very wise.
Yes. We shall say when they ask questions that we three left him alone and went to dinner. Later, in the dark, we shall carry out the general's command.
Explode the...
Yes, my dear Buster. Blow up the ship.
Oh, hello, Margot. Hello, Mr. Cranston. This is Randy's cabin. He promised us to throw a party at his last night on board, and he's walked out on us.
Doesn't answer.
No, and I'll bet he's sound asleep in there. Randy, you lover, let us in.
I don't hear anyone inside. Oh, Stuart, come here a moment.
Yes, sir.
Yes, officer. You know Mr. Todd's in his cabin?
He wants for the last I knew. His medic said Todd didn't wish to be disturbed.
There, what did I tell you? I'm going to keep on knocking until he pays some attention.
Oh, just a minute, Ben. Mr. Cranston has no idea.
Stuart, what's that here? Let's open the door for
him. Well, no, sir, I don't know that.
Of course you will. Mr. Todd's playing a joke on the young lady. We mustn't let him. No one will know. You'll let us in.
Oh, thank you, sir. Of course, it's all in fun, sir.
Oh, it's dark. Randy, where are you?
There's a light switch by the door, sir.
Oh, yes. Here we are.
Come on. He isn't here.
Oh, yes, he is, sir. Look, he's lying on the floor.
Yes, come on, Randy, wake up. The blood. That knife in his breast.
Yes. Is he?
Randy Todd is dead.
Oh, my poor, poor Randolph.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Todd. Stepson appears to have committed suicide.
You're sure, Captain McKee?
Yes, I'm sure, Mr. Cranston. There should be some reason for suicide, Captain.
I am afraid our young friend was bored with life. He was ill and depressed when we left him before dinner.
Exactly, Dr. Livingston. I had the ship's doctor check the fingerprints on that knife. They all belong to the dead man. No one else touched it.
If only he'd come to me.
You must not reproach yourself, honey.
Captain. Yes, Mr. Cranston? I met young Todd this afternoon. He seems worried about something.
Yes, I, too, noticed that he was troubled.
The question is, Dr. Vista, what was he worried about?
Who knows? He was a moody youth.
Yes, poor boy. We'll never know his reason.
Captain, Todd had a radiogram this afternoon. Missing now.
Randolph received many messages, Captain McKee, concerning the estate.
Did he show you this one, Mrs. Todd?
I never interfered with his affairs.
We're wasting time, Cranston.
I think not, Captain. This message may have been important. Thanks to it. You see it?
Nothing.
I'll ask the question, Cranston.
Very well.
You might ask Mr. Cranston how he knows the radiogram is missing.
Yes. How about that, Cranston?
Todd was wearing the same suit, and I found him, so I looked for him.
You mean you searched the body?
Yes. Stewart was here as a witness.
Well, I must say you've got your nerve, Cranston.
Perhaps the suicide with a knife isn't very common, Captain.
Now, look here, Cranston. It's bad enough to have a suicide on board without you trying to twist it into something worse.
No one saw young Todd after his three traveling companions left him.
I repent that. Captain McKee, this is outrageous. Must we be badgered by this young man? I can't stand his manner.
I still say...
That's enough from you, Cranston.
I'm merely tired.
I've had more than enough of your impudence. Adams, take this Mr. Cranston to his stateroom and lock him up.
Lock me up?
Yes, I am holding you as a material witness.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And Adams.
Yes, sir.
Put a man on the deck outside Cranston's cabin window. He's to stay in his room.
Yes, sir.
Coming. I'll see you again, Captain. Very soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, while we're waiting for the Shadow's hair-raising story to reach a thrilling climax, let me say something about a new kind of rainy day driving safety that may save your life. Because who knows...
The Shadow knows. When there's wet, slippery film on the highways, there's always the grim uncertainty that your car may start sliding, swerving, spinning off the road. Why gamble with fate?
Yes, motorists, and why gamble on tires when the new Goodrich Silvertown, with its lifesaver tread, offers you such marvelous skid protection. And marvelous is the word for it. Because exhaustive road tests of the regular and premium priced tires of America's six largest tire manufacturers prove that the new Goodrich Silvertown gave greater skid protection than any of the other tires tested. And don't forget, motorists, those grueling road tests weren't made by Goodrich. They were conducted by absolutely impartial engineers from America's largest independent testing laboratory, the Pittsburgh Testing Laboratory. What's more, some of the tires the new Silvertown was tested against have list prices as much as 40 to 70% more. When you consider that, then the fact that this new Goodrich Silvertown gave greater skid resistance than any tire tested is even more remarkable. Remember, when you buy Silvertown, you get Lifesaver Tread skid protection plus Goldenfly blowout protection. Two exclusive Goodrich features at no extra cost.
Here. Just go in that bag, Stewart.
I'll let you out.
Think that is all.
Smart idea, Mr. Kingsbury, packing ahead of time. Most people leave at the last minute.
Board docks tomorrow.
Right you are, early in the morning. Isn't this terrible, your boss, Mr. Todd, killing himself?
Most tragic. Kingsbury, very fond of young master.
Yes. Very tough thing. I'll answer. That's funny.
Funny? What is?
Nobody at the door.
No one?
The passage is empty.
Never mind, Stuart. You can go.
Right wrong.
Shut door, please. Stuart, I said go. Who laughed?
I did, Tang Shui.
You? Where are you? I cannot see you.
I am here beside you, Tang Shui.
Only voice.
Yes, Kang Chui. The shadow is a voice. Asking for the truth. The truth about Randolph Todd's death.
Kang Chui know nothing.
Kang Chui lies. The shadow knows. Where is the radiogram your young master got this afternoon?
I not know.
You are a wicked servant, Kang Chui. Where is the radiogram?
I did nothing.
Where is it?
Here, in pocket.
Put it on the table.
Yes, shadow.
Why was it taken? What does it say?
I give it to you. Now, go away, please.
No, Tang Siwei, not until I know the truth. Is Randolph Todd murdered?
Go away, please, go away, Tang Siwei. Be nothing.
Tang Siwei, get away from that
no,
door.
No, leave me alone, I run. Nonsense, Tang Sui.
Such a wild story.
No, true. Tang Sui talk with Shadow. No, man. Just Shadow. I don't believe it. It's true, Mr. Shadow. Take radiogram from Tang Sui.
The radiogram? You gave it to him?
You cow. Cannot fight Shadow. Cannot see him. Fool. There is the answer to not seeing him. He hid in the fog.
No fog in Tang Sui's cabin.
Well, we won't mind the fog a little later tonight. Doctor, you'd better shut the window. Look at the way the curtains are blowing in.
That's funny. There has not been a breath of air all night.
But the curtains were blowing just for a moment.
Shadow, he may prove an obstacle.
How? He cannot know our plans or what is in the hold of the ship. Now listen, we are only about 10 miles off the Ricardona port.
In a section friendly to the revolution.
Yes, in the fog we can easily lower a boat and slip away. But this is a shadow. You and your ghost stories sound strange. He cannot do anything.
He has read your message.
Only the copy in code. I destroyed the decoded copy. How can he read the message without the code book?
And you have the code book safe, Tavista?
Of course. I have it on me.
Look in your pocket, Tavista.
Huh?
What's that? Who spoke? Shadow. He's here.
Yes, my friend. The shadow is here.
Maria, the code book. It is not in my pocket.
It is gone. You, Tavista. I took it. Now I can read the message that caused one of you to murder Randolph Todd.
Maria, if he reads that message...
Sir, he must decode it. By that time, he will be too late. Come, we act at once.
Half speed it is, Captain.
Very good, Miss Pearson. Keep her on the course and keep sounding that whistle.
Yes, sir. Not much, sir.
Blasted fog. Once he doesn't get any closer to shore, there are shoals in there.
Aye, aye, sir.
Captain McTeague.
What was that?
I am here, Captain McTeague. Behind you.
Where? Get off the bridge. There are no passengers allowed up here.
Your ship is in danger, Captain.
Listen, whoever you are, get off the bridge. There's no danger. I've brought the Amazon through many a fall.
The danger isn't the fog, Captain. It's below decks.
Below? Say, come out here in the light so I can get a good look at you.
You cannot see me, Captain, but you must believe me. There are explosives in the hold.
You must be crazy.
There are munitions. Disguised. They're bound for revolutionaries in Ricaguana. The plan to blow them up.
Say, who are you?
They call me the Shadow, Captain. Believe me, you must go below before it's too late. Randolph Todd knew about the munitions, too. That's why he was murdered.
Murdered?
You don't believe that, Captain. At least go down into the hold. Go now. You will learn.
Mr. Pearson.
Yes, sir.
Take over. I'm going below. I want two men. Armed.
Get the top off that box.
Yes, Maria. Don't do it. Hand me that hatchet.
Yes, sir. Yes.
This one has the fuser.
Quickly, start tying one up to the powder. If one box blows up, they'll all go.
Yes, and the ship with them.
What is this?
Someone come.
What?
Come to it. Quick, switch out the light.
Yes, sir. Good. How punctual. Stay by the switch box. Don't turn them on till I get the word.
Quiet, quiet.
Black as pitch in here. Got your flash, Peters?
Yes, Captain.
Find the light switch.
Ask me, this is the craziest...
Now, sound straight.
Hey, who turned on those lights?
Do not move, Captain.
Got a gun, sir. So I see.
So's the woman.
And I am a good shot, sailor. Keep your hand up.
Mr. Todd and... Mrs. Todd and Dr. DeVista. Hey, what are you doing down here?
Good evening, Captain.
And young Todd Ballard, too. Put down those guns. What the devil do you mean
you
by...
You do not command now, Captain.
That's mutiny.
Throw your guns on the floor, gentlemen.
I'll be...
You'll be dead if you don't.
Throw guns.
What do you say, Captain?
Go ahead, boys. Not much we can do now. Here's my gun.
The other, please, quickly. Line up facing the wall, gentlemen. Keep those hands up, Captain.
You don't expect to get away with this.
But we do. We will. There will be a certain loud noise, and you... But never mind. Come to it.
Yes, listen.
You will shoot the first man who turns around. Yes. Come back to the vista. In the hurry. Bring the hatchet with you.
Yes, I am coming.
You. What's your name? Dang Sui. What does he mean by a loud noise? Are there explosives in this hole?
Captain, no talk.
If anything happens to this...
One more word and Captain die.
I think not, Dang Sui.
Shadow! The door! My arm!
Drop the gun, Dang Sui.
The man who pulled himself a shadow's gun.
Stop me, Captain. Get the others.
I've got his gun, sir.
Oh, let me go, Shadow. Let me go.
Wait, Captain, rush the others. They're laying a fuse.
A fuse?
Grab your guns, men. Come on.
Let's go, Shadow. Dumb, so we do nothing.
No, you don't like your jiu-jitsu when it's practiced on you. Come on, the others.
Grab your hands. Grab your men. Hold on, eh? Raise, lady. We got you.
So, Shadow, this is your doing.
No, Mrs. Todd, yours. The Shadow merely helps the cause of justice.
Hey, these are munitions, all right. Look at that. Powder. High explosive shells. Enough to blow the ship right out of the water.
That was their idea, Captain.
Well, I hope you three are satisfied. Smuggling, piracy, assault with a deadly weapon, sabotage. You'll spend the rest of your lives behind bars.
No, Captain, not all three. Kang Sui will die for the murder of his master, Randolph Todd.
No, I did not...
You will hang, Kang Sui.
I tell you the truth, Shadow.
Don't you, fool.
Be quiet.
The truth, Kang Sui.
Mrs. Todd, one time, Chalker's lady, she throw knife by blade. Wait, look out!
We had to shoot them.
The hatchet just missed Sanctuary.
Oh, she bad. She murder master.
The woman is dead.
Murdered.
So, Captain, Mrs. Todd paid for her crime. She killed the citizen. She planned to destroy all the people on the ship. Instead, it was she who perished.
Peters and Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Take Dr. Vista and Don Shoei to the brig.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Shadow, I'd like to thank you. Who are you, anyway?
Just the Shadow, Captain McTeague. I work in the shadows. Against crime.
You saved my ship. I feel the line should thank you publicly.
My power would be lost if I were known, Captain.
Well, the young man upstairs I owe an apology to. Lad named Cranston.
Really? Why?
Well, he sort of figured young Todd was murdered.
Mr. Cranston must be very wise. Now, Captain, I must go back into the shadows.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
Well, once again, the Shadow got to the bottom of the mystery, not that there was ever any doubt in my mind. You just heard the Shadow episode aboard the steamship Amazon, which first aired on Sunday, July 17, 1938, on the Mutual Broadcasting Network. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I'm afraid my time is almost up, but I'll pass along my contact information before I go, as I would love to hear your comments on today's program. My email is opr@telus.net, TELUS, and my postal address, should you wish to write me, is Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, BC, Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFAS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week.